Once again, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us. Paul and Ainsley Harmon, we're right here at Hope Chapel, downtown Huntington Beach. We're glad that you have joined us today. It's an important message, but naturally, I always enjoy having my wife, Ainsley, here to not only bring greetings, but to pray for the message. And a couple of exciting things here happening at Hope Chapel today, Ainsley. Number one, we're starting outdoor life groups. So life groups begin today. If you're wanting to participate, why don't you call the church office? We'll give you the full details on that. Also, we just love sending people on to the mission field. We have a dear couple and their family coming back, re-entering into the States from being on the mission field for 12 years, Don and Sandy Godwin. And so we are projecting to try to raise $10,000, and we'll be receiving an offering for them on Sunday, September 6th. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Maybe you know of them. Maybe you're aware of them. But a lot's happening. You might want to call the office or go on our website, find out some more information. But honey, why don't you bring greeting?
Yes, we're so grateful for people like Don and Sandy who really have committed their lives to Jesus and have given a great majority of their life to serve him in a situation very different than what they were living in before. And their dedication to God has really made a difference. So many people in Rosarito, people who have been deported have found hope through the ministry there. And people are finding hope here, still at Hope Chapel. You may have come by, and if you haven't, we would love to have you do that. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 to 12, we have drive-through prayer in front of our church building. You can pull right up and receive prayer in your car. And we have a wonderful group of people who are dedicated, just like the Godwins are dedicated, to minister to people. So maybe someone you know could use that. Encourage them to stop by Hope Chapel on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 12, to receive prayer. God's doing some amazing things.
Truly.
People are coming for prayer for their families. They're coming for job situations. They're coming for all kinds of things that people need prayer for. And they're coming back with testimonies how God has answered those things and helped them. So the church continues to be a bright light in the community.
Yes.
And he will use any life that is willing to be used and dedicated to him. So you can even pray for someone that you know, and we want to encourage you. We want them to come here to be prayed for, but probably even better is for you to pray for them yourself and to stop and just say, well, let me pray for you.
Yeah, very missional.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Honey, why don't you go ahead at this time and pray for the message?
All right, I'd be happy to. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you right now in the wonderful name of Jesus. And once again, we have the great privilege to open your word and see what it has to say and to get our heart ready so that we can obey as you speak to us. So we're asking that you help us to obey. Just like when we feel that prompting to pray for someone else, we're asking that you would help us to be obedient to what your word has to say. Help your messenger, Paul Harmon, this morning. We ask that you would anoint him by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the word of God would open up to our hearts and to our lives and minister the life that it brings. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ainsley. Great having a startup of today's message with you. Well done. God bless you.
Thank you.
I'm going to invite you to your seat, and I invite you to go ahead and take hold of your Bible. I've got my paper edition, but you may have your electronic edition as well. We are wrapping up our summer series, Facts for the Future. If you'll take a look at the idea of Facts for the Future, how that God is in the business of predicting the future. Therefore, we've always enjoyed and have seen how the Bible has 1,817 predictive prophecies in this book, an amazing book. No other book, no other religious book does what the Bible does. And how can that possibly be the case? Well, we've been using Daniel chapter 2, verse 28. When Daniel told King Nebuchadnezzar, "This is how I know about the future. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." So people are interested in the future. People want to know about their own destiny. They want to know that they're going to live a life of purpose or avoid tragedy of any kind. And we're not just talking about end time stuff. I just want to put a little bit of a side note here, because today's message is entitled Christ's Second Coming. Christ's Second Coming. And when we talk about predictive prophecies, I want to just highlight some of the feedback that I have been receiving from just maybe friends who have friends who are saying, well, I just don't believe in the Bible, can't predict things. I just don't believe in that prophecy stuff. But those same individuals are reported to go to a fortune teller, or they will search out their horoscope sign, their astrological sign. They want to see what the future holds even for the day. Don't you think that really is a contradiction of what people say? Well, the Bible doesn't predict anything, but I sure believe in my horoscope sign. And I want to just warn, maybe you know of somebody, maybe you yourself, you would call yourself a spiritual person, but the Word of God also warns us, do not go there. Let me just highlight, first of all, here are some verses. You may want to just write them down. I'll read them to you, but write them down. First, just want to highlight Matthew 10:28 says to fear God, but don't fear man. But in Proverbs 29:25 reminds us that the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in God shall be safe. So I'm hoping that today's message will allow you and me to say, man, I trust God more than anything or anyone else. Here's the warning, though. Check out Leviticus 19:31 at your leisure time, but let me read that to you. It's a warning of God to his nation Israel. It says, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. So you can see where the Lord is saying to us even today, boy, don't go off trying to ask others to give you some headway or some direction. I'm the Lord your God. One other one I just want to highlight too, it's Deuteronomy 18, verse 10 and 11, and I'll throw in verse 12. It just says this, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or soothsaying, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. Now, I just want to note with you, why would even anybody be interested in going to a fortune teller? They must have some substantial, maybe accuracy, but those are demons. If God says that's an abomination to me, just want you to know God is not in that, and that spirit will turn on the individual in a negative way. It will attack. So be cautious. Don't turn yourself over to anything or anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful about that. It's amazing how slippery evil is. I think we've all heard the term bait and switch, right? You go and you take a look. That is the SUV vehicle I really want. It's the price I want to pay. You go to the dealer and they say, well, you know, that's really, that model isn't the one that we're advertising right now. And they switch and you end up spending, I don't know, 4 to 6 hours debating, I want this price. How come I can't have the one you have listed? It's kind of the way evil works. It's kind of like a little bit of a bait. And then when you kind of walk a little bit more into it, weeks, years, say, what's happened? It's switched and something just tragic is happening. Well, I've certainly spent enough time there on that, but that's my warning to those issues that have been coming across my desk. People that want to know the future, they're not giving way to the Word of God. And they're going after other areas. Fear God. Respect God. Don't fear man. What can man do to you? Man, God will protect you and me. So we've been noticing now, as we look at today's topic, Christ's second coming, that Jesus was the one, and I'm opening my Bible to Matthew chapter 24. Would you join me there? Considerable amount of verses. We're going to be sharing some of those verses with you today. But Jesus was the one with the prophets, as we've been seeing over the weeks together this summer, how that they have been declaring what the world would be like prior to the second coming. And we're noticing the world is like that. Some have said, well, isn't the world always been like that? No, not when you compile everything together. So we can say the world has never looked like that, and the world is looking just like that today. So we've been dealing with a little bit of the great white throne judgment. Remember that? Revelations 20, verse 11. Anybody whose name is not found in the book of life, they will be sent to the lake of fire. We're dealing with the Bema Seat, or the judgment seat of Christ. Remember, we were dealing with that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. That is where the Christians will have their lives evaluated. You say, well, why do you bring that up? See, these are predictive prophecies too, events still to be into the future, but we want to be mindful. If we're looking at just everyday incidents today, wow, let's sharpen our ability to say, I have faith. What God says will happen in the future, it will happen. Well, today I want to look at five predictions you can count on as well. We're dealing with the way Jesus describes his second coming. And take a look with me. Number one, Jesus promised to return to planet Earth. Now, it sounds like something we would already have just guaranteed, but it's important. Jesus has promised to return to planet Earth. Now, Jesus told his disciples, and he has told all Christians, I am coming back. Matter of fact, that's the way the four-square movement. You are in a four-square church. We believe everything about the Bible from cover to cover is about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, how that Jesus is the Savior, how that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is our healer, and yes, Jesus is our soon-coming King, the return of Christ. So it's important. It's a great event to look forward to, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 13, 12 says that we're going to see Jesus face to face. Face to face. What a day that's going to be. Wow. What a day. Well, let's look here for a moment, because we start with Matthew 24, verse 3. As you follow along with me, it says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, it's interesting. This Matthew 24 is called the Olivet Discourse. It's really a sermon that Jesus is talking about on the Mount of Olives. I'm glad so many of you have been with us when we have journeyed to Israel. And nothing like being on the Mount of Olives and overlooking Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Oh my, so much history, so much history there. But Jesus is there, and the disciples privately, they're really asking Jesus, we'd like to have some clues, wouldn't you? I mean, everybody seems to be asking exactly what they're saying. What will be the signs? When exactly will this take place? Two. And what will be the sign of the end of the age? So that's important. You can see they're asking those questions to Jesus, and the Lord lets them have a few of that through that chapter. But let's take a look here, because with that, Jesus starts talking about how eternity looks. And we've also listed John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. Take a look at that as well. Again, our topic, first point, how Jesus promised to return to earth. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I like the description of heaven. That's my favorite description of heaven. In my Father's house. Don't you like that? Wow. Are many mansions. And he goes on and says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Isn't that cool how the Lord just says that you can put money on the bank with this one. I give you my assurance. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, what is Jesus doing? Preparation. There's a arrival time where you will be coming in face to face with Jesus. He's going, he's there, he's preparing a place for you. I hope you're looking forward to that. That's your final destination. Scripture says, goes on, chapter 14, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again to receive you to me. I like to call that safe conduct. I'm coming to receive you to me. Wow. Now, where I am, there you may be also. I'll just say glory. Man, that is like, Lord, I want to be where you are. And I like Acts chapter 1, verse 11, because it's right there that the angels are watching the disciples gaze into heaven. And who also said, men of Galilee, isn't it interesting? Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Says this same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Well, I just want to bring that up. The Mount of Olives right there, the Olivet Discourse, Jesus is going to touch down right there, first place, but it's going to be incredible. I'm looking forward to that, but it's nice to know some of the events prior to it happening. Number two, let's take a look. Jesus said what the world would look like when he returns. Now, we've spent some considerable time with that, but it's worth noting Jesus is the one that said what the world would look like prior to his coming. But it's important. Now, Matthew 24, 4 through 34, it's listed there, but it is worth noting 30 verses Jesus tells us what the world will look like. A lot of verses there, a lot of references, but he does highlight one thing. He says the culmination of all this is going to be like a fig tree, kind of like a fig tree. So it's important. So when you see this fig tree or you see these things start to kind of accumulate together. Matter of fact, let me just read that to you. It's back in Matthew 24, verse 32 through 35. Let me just read that portion to you. It says, now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. We've got the sure word of God. Same scripture is going to be there in heaven. Jesus is called the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John 1 talks about that. So really, we should really cradle and care for scriptures as if we're really a portion of Jesus himself. But it's worth noting here, because Jesus says, when the world begins to shape up like this, pay attention. Pay attention. That's important. So I think there's things that are happening here, don't you? The global response lately to the pandemic. How quickly, have you noticed how quickly people responded to the lockdowns? It's kind of like a setup. Could we, when the wrath of God is poured out in the tribulation period, you could see where the whole world could respond to maybe that dictator, the Antichrist. It really is. Things are kind of shaping up to things that would happen. And there are people right now that would love to see a one world order, all in the name of equality, all in the name of pluralism, which means, hey, we all got to coexist together, or in the name of fairness. So I can sure see how Christianity is going to really be challenged, persecuted as well. That pluralism saying, well, you Christians, you're very narrow, saying that it's only through Jesus we can all be accepted into heaven. So that's for another day. We've talked a little bit about that. But let's go to number three. Jesus cautioned against setting dates. Now, that's important for us as well. And I find in Matthew, again, 24, verse 36, says, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. No one knows. Now, everybody likes projecting dates. It is fun to kind of see who's thinking that maybe are we in the end times. Get that asked all the time. I say, no, we are not in the end times, but we are right now in a dress rehearsal. Things are really coming together in some unique ways. But how many remember, maybe you might remember a while back, a guy named Edgar Wiesner, who was a retired NSA engineer, a NASA engineer. And it was amazing because at that time he was predicting when exactly the day Jesus would return. He calculated things and he sold 4.3 million books. And then Jesus didn't come. So he recalculated, wrote a second book, and sold 30,000 books. And then Jesus disappointed him again. So he's 0-4-2, and he's really out of the book writing business. And I remember his little interview, say, what are you going to tell God when he asks you, why did you go and predict my return date? And he said, well, I can at least stand in front of the Lord and said, I gave it my best shot. That's amazing to me. I think God's going to probably say, well, did you ever read Matthew 24:36? No one knows the day or the hour. So as soon as somebody says this is the day, it's going to happen this week, this hour, well, you can guarantee it's not going to happen because that would be a violation of Scripture, and God probably would move the date just to prove the guy wrong. Who knows? But we do know in Acts 1, verse 7, Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. It's not for you. People want to know, Lord, when are you going to establish the kingdom once again? So it is worth noting, people are always concerned. What probably needs to be aware of for all of us, not just the second coming, because at least we have so many highlights from Scripture, but there's something that's also happening still to come, and that is the rapture. And the rapture talks about that. In the Scripture, to note that, you might want to jot down 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. It's right there. Scripture talks about how that Jesus will come and we will be brought up into the air to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so it's important for us to recognize that we're going to see that. The 1 Thessalonians 5:9, remember we've dealt with that as well, how that God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've used that as a reminder that God has intended to save people and to spare us from the wrath to come. Oh, it's so inconsistent of the Lord to all of a sudden allow his people to go through the tribulation period when he really has come to save us from wrath. Let me just read real quick, Revelation 3:10. It's a great little portion. Revelation 3:10 says, because you have kept my command to preserve, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth, because you have kept my command to persevere. So it's important that we remember that. So number one, I'm coming back. Number two, Jesus says what the world would be like. Number three, cautioned against setting dates. And can I just highlight with you, it is intriguing to me. I've certainly have heard plenty over the years. I remember as a younger Christian how that everybody is just, Maranatha, Jesus is coming. And here, 40 years removed, hello, and Jesus hasn't come, and you still kind of hear the scoffers. And the Bible even says that's a sign of the time. You're going to have scoffers saying, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of that? And can I just highlight that? I want to put that on the screen for you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 4. Just take a moment here with me. It says, know this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." So isn't it interesting that I'm certainly seeing those scoffers out there wanting to, most people, we can't blame them. Nobody wants to be responsible, and they certainly don't want to answer to God. So it's kind of like he's not going to be coming, but Bible says he is. I want to add, too, if we could, 2 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9. Let me read that, and it's also now projected on your screen. Reading from the New King James rendering, says, "But beloved," so he's talking to Christians, "but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us." Long-suffering is he puts up with a bunch of crud in people's life. Long-suffering toward, I am so glad he's delayed his coming so that Paul Harmon could receive salvation and be discipled in that relationship. He has put up long and suffered with me. Aren't you glad? I know I am. Glad for the Lord's patience and long-suffering. That scripture goes on, "But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So for those that are saying, "Well, I think things are going to just continue on as is," listen, that we're talking one event, that's the second coming. We're talking another event, that's the rapture that will happen before the second coming. But the scripture highlights something that we want to take note of, that it says here a thousand years is as one day. So eternity moves on rather quickly. It just moves on rather quickly. I don't know if you ever heard that cute little story. A guy came up to the Lord and was asking in prayer, "Lord, what is a thousand years like to you?" And the Lord says, "Like a second." And he says, "Well, Lord, what is $1 million like to you?" And he heard a voice saying, "It's like a penny to me." And then the man asked, "Lord, will you give me a penny?" And God answered, "In a second." I just thought I'd throw it. But is it worth noting here that you and I, in our impatience, feels like it's so long in our lifetime? But as you know, time goes quick, and it speeds up the older we get. Have you noticed that? When you were a child, you were put on detention for a week, couldn't go outside in the summertime to play. That felt like eternity. Now, as we are older, we know something's going to happen in 1 week. It's kind of like we got to plan ahead because it's going to come in like 6 hours. And it is worth noting, people are saying, "What is eternity like?" Your loved ones that are now in heaven, eternity just goes so fast. Boom. Boom, it speed up there because there's no end and there's no beginning. But when somebody takes from time into eternity, boom. And probably what it's going to look like and feel like to them, here they are in glory. They are watching and enjoying the presence of God and what heaven holds for them. And it will be a busy place. It will be a busy place. Just consider how busy Earth is. Somebody probably from Mars, if it was inhabited, would say, "I bet they're all bored out of their minds in Earth with nothing to do." But it's a busy place. Heaven will be a busy place. And when you and I vacate this body and enter into heaven and see our loved ones, this is probably what it's going to be like to them. They'll say, "Paul, are you here already? I just got here. And now you're here. And now you're here too. And you, we all seem to be assembling at the same time." Why? Because eternity just goes so quickly. There is no amount of time. 1,000 years is as one day when it comes to eternity with the Lord. I'm blessed by that. I hope you are too. But remember, he's coming. And our number fourth point, Jesus said his return would be a surprise for most. Now, when I look back at Matthew 24, verse 37 to 41, Take a look at that with me. It says, but of that day and hour, remember, no one knows the day or the hour. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as in the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Now, as you take a look here, as you know, that element of one will be taken, the other left, really referencing the rapture. But we do know this, it's worth just taking a pause and note that Jesus says, but as in the days of Noah. What were the days of Noah like? Let me just present to you what those days were like according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Here they are. I'm just going to list four of them. Like the days of Noah. Not just all of a sudden Noah's building this ark for 120 plus years, and then all of a sudden the door is sealed and people change their mind, but it's too late then. But the days, more than one. Number one, the human race was infiltrated by evil angels. Number two, every thought of man's heart was evil in the days of Noah. Number three, the earth was filled with violence during the days of Noah. And finally, number four, I'll just list, sexual perversion was rampant in the days of Noah. Jesus says, but as in the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So it's important for us to recognize those things. And I just want to highlight that one will be taken, the other left. How does that, what does that look like? Well, let me just highlight a couple of references there, and it's worth considering. But Acts 1, verse 9 mentions how that when he had spoken these things while they were watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. So you can imagine the disciples saw Jesus just right up into the clouds. Also, we have 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17 that says something similar. Then he who are alive, or we who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. So I just want to highlight when Jesus says one will be taken, the other left, not only has witnesses seen Jesus go up into the clouds, but Scripture is predicting that we who are alive will be caught up in the clouds, and so will we ever be with the Lord. So it's important for us, whether it's the return of Christ or the rapturing of the church, wow, we just know this, be prepared, be prepared. Matthew 25, 13 really lists that, and it's important for us to note because it says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Watch, be prepared. Don't just say, well, que sera, sera. Be prepared. It's significant for us. Luke 12, verse 40 mentions the same thing. Therefore, you also be ready. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect it. And it's going to be a shocker. Now, it's nice just to say, I know he's coming. I know he's coming. When's the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus' coming? When's the last time you could just say, maybe your time on earth is near and done, but you could tell to your children's children, Jesus promised to be coming. Remember Joseph, when the Exodus from Egypt, he says, you know, I'm not going to make it. Make sure you embalm me and carry me and bury me in the promised land when God delivers you 400 years from now. Wow. Tell somebody he's coming. Be ready. And finally, number five, Jesus said to watch and be prepared for his coming. Let's highlight that. Watch and be prepared. Now, he's the one that said that. That's why we want to be just always, it almost sounds like we want to vacate our responsibilities here on earth and just say, cut me out of here. I'm done. But Jesus said this in Matthew 24. We're back there again as we wrap that chapter up in our portion. Verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So it's very important to be prepared. Whether Jesus comes tomorrow and raptures us up or 100 years, it's important that we are ready. It's important that we recognize that. Why people do not want to have their sins forgiven, to be set free from a bondage or an entrapment, it's still a mystery to me. It's kind of like, well, you keep your Jesus, you keep your heaven. I don't care about that. I'm going to keep my drugs, booze, my illicit activities. I don't care. I like it. I don't understand that. But some people, they're so entrenched in that, we have to be careful. Boy, the Lord is so, so willing to teach us how to trust him, isn't he? Have you just learned life's journeys, how to just trust the Lord? Some of the big stuff, small stuff, he is trustworthy. And as you know, he's working all things out for your good personally. Reason why he's delaying his coming is that you and I would tell that neighbor or family member, please repent and give your life to Jesus. Just be prepared. That's important. That is the reason why he's holding back. He does not want anybody to perish. It's not in the heart of God. So how should we live? That's a big question as we really consider, what do we do in the meantime? Pastor Paul, what way should I live my life? How do I get ready? Is there a way that I could be watchful? Well, here they are, three things. I'm going to leave them very simply with you, and you could pass them on to others. How to live in a world, let's call it this, how to live in a world falling apart. When you know things are falling apart, because it can even suck the most sincere believer in with it and cause it to crumble or act in ways that we would not want to act. Remember, I have said often, we want to be good citizens of these United States of America. Be good citizens until it causes us to be bad Christians. Be the best you can as a United States citizen until something is mandated or demanded for you not to have your allegiance to Jesus and the Word of God. How do you live in a world falling apart? Number one, keep focused on heaven. I mentioned home, but keep focused on home. How's that? That's important. That's your final destination. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says that. Hey, don't look at the things on this earth, but look at those things that are in heaven. Man, you've been bought with a price. It's important. That's a reminder. Keep focused on your real home. I'm sure people want to invest in real estate and have that security, feel like, okay, this is home. But you really do have a real home. And Jesus was the one that says, I am preparing a place for you. Oh, glory to God. I hope I'm talking to the right people. That you're saying, yes, I believe it, and yes, I've received Jesus. Number two, remember we are just passing through. Now, that's important. We all know that if we've ever attended a funeral, that we realize that life is short. Scripture says it's like a vapor. Other passages say we're like a flower in a field, and the heat comes and, man, dries us up, and our place is remembered no more, Psalm 103. No more. It doesn't matter how sincere your monument is, it will be gone eventually. So remember, we're just passing through. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12 literally says that we are sojourners. We're just, let's do the best good we can. And finally, number 3, keep faithful to God by using what he's given you for good and not evil. Keep faithful to God. Do not be tempted to do shortcuts. There are plenty of people that'll tell you how to talk you into an easy way. It's kind of like Satan himself when he told Jesus, check out this kingdom. Everything here is all mine, and I give it to whoever I want. All you have to do is just bow down and worship me, and I give it to you. No shortcuts. Be faithful to God by using what he's given you for good and not for evil. It's not yours anyway, and let's gain some treasures that'll be waiting for us. Luke 12, 42 to 48 describes that. Will God find faith on the earth when he comes? I know you'll be faithful, and so will I. We need each other to spark and to maintain and to consistently encourage one another. Let's live for Jesus. Well, I want to thank you for today being here with me through this whole message. And for many of you who've been so faithful through this whole summer series, Facts for the Future. Jesus is coming, but so many times the miracle happens right there in our home or in our lives when we realize, oh, God Almighty speaking to us. It's time to give our lives to him. He loves us so. If that is you and you know that you have had the voice of Almighty God saying, come, come, my child. I have things for you to see and to enjoy. And I'll tell you, I love my life. I want everybody to experience what I have. It's so enjoyable and rich. And if my life were to end today, heaven is outstanding too. I believe it. It's a win-win. A win-win. And if you need Jesus or you need to recommit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, would you pray with me right now? Very important. Would you go ahead and even just close your eyes? And I say repeat these words because you can speak it from your heart, but the mouth also really does help. And I don't know what language God speaks in heaven. Could be Spanish, could be German, but I know he speaks the language of the heart. And if you mean this prayer, God will come into you, save you, and your life will be on a great path forever. It goes like this, dear Jesus, I confess to you now, I need you as my Savior. I believe that you came and died on the cross for me. Now, dear Jesus, forgive me of the things I've done. Wash me clean because of your sacrifice. Come into my life to stay. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I'm going to trust you, Almighty God, for eternity in heaven with you. Now, dear Jesus, make me the kind of person you want me to be. And I ask now, Lord, fill me full of the Holy Spirit. Not my own doing, but empower me with the helper, so I can live for you and serve you in Jesus' name. Well, I want to thank God for you who prayed that prayer, and thank you for continuing to just be with us here at Hope Chapel. The message is going around the world, and we want to thank God how so many people are joining us in other nations, and I'm probably talking about so many of you today. Thank you. Thank you for continuing to pray with us that each message every week would just spark an interest where people are saying, I need Jesus. Just like I did when I found Christ, I said, that is exactly what I'm looking for. Thank you for joining us today. I look forward to being with you again soon. But in the meantime, may God bless you. May God cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God cause his countenance to come upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.